let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pray before we get started here. So good to be able to gather together. You know, we really need to, I was thinking about that this morning. There was one Sunday last winter that the roads were just terrible. I mean, it seemed like there was like 2 feet of snow on the roads, and we didn't make it out for either service. And, you know, it's and I don't know why I thought about that when we were driving in, but it's, I mean, when we're not able, and like, you know, sometimes Wednesdays, different, I know I work on Wednesday evening sometimes, and it's a little bit discombobulating to not be here every time, you know? So I guess maybe that's why my grin's extra big today. Extra big. But we need to be, I know things happen, people get sick. I'm not, you know, referring to any of that kind of thing. But boy, we really need to be thankful for our church, for being able to be here for each other. You know, there's no, I mean, this is a haven, you know, where we can come and be encouraged and challenge as well. We need challenge from the word and so forth, but just to really be thankful, because, I mean, we've done quite a bit of traveling, and it's independent fundamental Baptist church nowadays means a lot of different things, a lot of different things. And sometimes you go to a place and it's a real blessing, and sometimes you go and it's like, I almost hate to say this, but you're like, would it have been better not to go just because of how things are there, you know? And so, but we need to give thanks for our church. But let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love and goodness. And Lord, we do thank you for the privileges to gather here today, and just for the health and the strength and the safety, Lord, that you provided throughout this week. And Lord, for this morning, being able to be here. And we do pray, Lord, to just have humility in our own hearts and minds. And Lord, that we'd just see, Father, that everything that we do, that's a good thing, Lord, is because of your power working in us, because of your Holy Spirit, because of your word. Excuse me, and just help us to give you the praise and the glory for that. And Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, help us to be reminded of some things, to be challenged, to keep on keeping on for you. And Lord, just that we would have been encouraged as a result of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Peter 1, excuse me, 1 Peter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And the idea here, conversation, is our lifestyle, everything. Not just what we say, but it includes that, but what we think, what we do, how we handle ourselves, our whole lifestyle, our whole manner of life. And then in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And holiness, in many ways, is based upon a correct biblical application of understanding God's, the fear of God, being able to live a holy life, understanding who He is. And that's something that nowadays we don't hear much about. We really don't. We don't hear much about the fear of God. We don't hear much about repentance. We don't hear much about holiness, really. Or if we do, the holiness is what everybody thinks is acceptable, basically. But from the dictionary here, the holiness is the state of being holy, purity or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, sanctity, also applied to God. Holiness denotes His perfect purity or integrity or moral character, and is one of His essential attributes. You know, and so many times people want to take God's attributes and they want to divide them from the others. You know, God is love, so He accepts everybody no matter what, and everybody is going to go to heaven. Well, That's not true. God does love everybody, and he does want everybody to go to heaven, but that don't mean they will, because his holiness requires that there be a payment for every individual's sin. And either we can accept Jesus' payment for us, or we have to bear that penalty ourselves. And thank God that he paid that penalty for us. Holy means free from sin and sinful affections. Applied to God, it signifies that he's perfectly pure. You know, when life happens, we wonder sometimes, does God love us? Does God really want to take care of us? You know, I'm not talking about our spiritual side. I'm talking about our fleshly side. You know, we don't get what we want sometimes, and we struggle with that. But God's perfectly pure, perfectly good, and everything that he allows to be brought into our life, it's for our benefit. And we need to, excuse me, continually remind ourselves of that all the time, all the time. Because, you know, we all are susceptible to getting weary. You know, we get tired. You know, sometimes we get tired spiritually. You know, we need to do kind of a gut check sometimes, so to speak. Another definition here of holy is, we call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life regulated by the divine precepts, the word of God. You know, and that's the only way we can be holy, is to do what God says in his word. And then the last definition here, hallowed, consecrated, or set apart to a sacred use, or to the service or worship of God. And that's all of us that have been born again. All of us. We're all God's. We're not our own. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One of the dangers is what we use to... what we use is our measuring rod, so to speak, for whether or not we're holy. Because we can always compare to somebody else, or not every person, but we can find somebody else to compare ourselves to that we're a notch above in our own estimation, of course. I mean, we don't always know really what other person's life is like. I don't know about you, but I have enough time trailing down my own life is like. But we can always find somebody else that in our own minds we're a little bit better than. You know, on the holiness scale, so to speak. But we need to make sure that we measure ourselves by the scripture and by the author of it, not by what other people appear to us to be. Verse 19 then of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We're no longer our own. We've been bought, as we see here in the next verse. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. We belong to him. He needs to be our Lord and our master. And he needs to be the one to dictate to us everything through the word of God. And let's also look at Revelation in chapter 4. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4:11. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're not here to bring pleasure to ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong, when we're living for the Lord, we're going to have joy, and we're going to have hope, and we're going to have peace, and we're going to have a heavenly vision, perspective, our affections will be there, and we'll have a life like nobody can have, like, other than other believers who are living like the way the Lord wants. So it's not about us. You know, too often we see life through the lens of what makes us happy, you know, and we need to forego that perspective. Let's look in, I think it's Ephesians 2. We'll try Ephesians 2. It might not be, but no, it's not Ephesians. Maybe it's Galatians. But we need to find this verse. No, it's Colossians. It's Colossians. I'm pretty confident it's Colossians. See, when you turn to a verse that isn't in your notes, yeah, Colossians 3. Then you put yourself out there. But Colossians 3. In verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's where our yearning needs to be. You know, and we're to live by faith, not by sight. And we're to focus on the things that are not seen. You know, that's where real hope comes in. So Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we need to look at the eternal rather than the temporal. You know, I talked probably too much about this last year, about turning the big 4-0. You know, Mrs. Pyatt's birthday today. I don't know how old she is. If I did, I wouldn't mention it. But, you know, Mr. Pyatt turned whatever he turned last week. You know, we're all getting older. But, you know, what it comes all down to is we're just about as old as we make ourselves. I mean, by our exercise habits, our eating habits, our mental habits. You know, I got an ache. Oh, you know, I can barely make it. You know, well, maybe do some exercises to strengthen it or whatever. But, well, and spiritually too. You know, we need to make sure that our minds are fixed. You know, and for some people, that means, you know, we're dogmatic or, you know, we don't debate certain things. They're just givens. Well, you know what? That's what God says. Period. God says this is the way it is. And we need to hold to that. And that's such a big part of holiness because, you know, this has been mentioned so many times by pastor about people that are raised in the church and then they get certain age. There's a new, actually, I think, I don't know if Brother Cloud's writing the book or somebody that he knows about children. Like they get, you know, they grow up in good churches and they get to a certain age and they're gone. They're just out of there because it never was real to them. And that's a scary thought, you know, and that's why I so appreciate pastor just on a regular basis. You know, don't believe me. You know, you need to check it out and make it your own because nobody's going to get anywhere on the coattails of the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or mom and dad. You know, we see, and that's why we need the whole counsel of God. We need everything. You know, we need everything that the Bible teaches. Well, number one, because if we're not fulfilling the Great Commission, you know, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. But that's such a big part about holiness and this is about God, not about us. And every time we make it about us, we're not doing what the Lord wants. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Just a little bit about holiness, being holy. 1 Chronicles 16. And we'll look at verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 7. This is Psalm 105. It says, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And you know, for so often what we have to do is we have to make his deeds known in our own heart. You know, what God has done for us. You know, because we look around at times what didn't happen or could have happened or whatever, but look what God has done. You know, number one, we're saved. I mean, repented of our sin, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything can be good from there, even though there's struggles, and I'm not trying to downplay those. But just knowing we have a home in heaven, that we have God as our Father, that we have Jesus as our Savior, we've got the Comforter within us, you know, we can make lemonade out of lemons, so to speak. We don't have to, you know, be all sour-faced, so to speak. So verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know, people sometimes say, you know, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. Well, when we're letting the Holy Spirit remind us of stuff, you know, my mom growing up, she always her mouth was always moving. It was just like a very faint whisper, if anything. I mean, she was talking. I don't know, maybe she was just praying all the time. You know, I ought to ask her that, like what she was doing. But anyway, she was constantly, you know, and that, you know, if we're talking to ourselves, maybe we're just, other people think we're talking to ourselves, maybe it's just us praying, or verses, or whatever. But we've got to remind ourselves, and sing at times, you know, singing and making melody in your own heart unto the Lord. That's where we get the joy and the strength and the power, you know, moment by moment. And that's where the holiness comes in. So verse 10, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And then down in verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We cannot truly worship God without holiness. You know, without some of these things that we just read in this definition up here. Without purity, moral character. That's why we need to keep short accounts. Short accounts. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us right away, you know, make it right. You know, the Lord's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins to him. But we need to realize that being able to worship him is based upon this holiness, being holy before him. Let's turn to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. When we see things repeated, it's because God wants us to really take note of that. I mean, he wants us to take note of everything, but you know, it should cause us to pause and think a little bit more about it. But in Psalm 29:2, we see the same idea. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And we can't truly be holy unless we're doing that. Because we've got to give him the glory that's due him. Well, he deserves it all. He deserves it all. And when we try to take a little bit of that, or when we try to question that even a little bit, you know, like if we have a situation in our life that we're discontent over, frustrated, disappointed, whatever, then we're really not meditating as we should on how God's good and how he's holy. And then continue on there, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've got to have that. Psalm 96. Psalm 96. In verse 9, we see the very same idea. Psalm 96:9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, for a lot of people, holiness is stifling. It's restrictive. It's negative. You know, but really we need to see that being holy is really beautiful. You know, when we see when ladies dress modestly, that's when they're the most beautiful. You know, because when they're not, when they're not dressed modestly, they're demeaning themselves like a strange woman. And so really the true beauty is when they're holy in their attire. excuse me. And then fear before him all the earth. Holiness is based upon this. God is on the throne. God is in charge, and he judges sin, and we need to have that fear of him. That's so key. And let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Then chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're not going to be what God wants us to be if we don't have a healthy fear for him. And that means, hey, God said it, I need to do it. You know, we will reap what we sow. You know, and sometimes we get the wrong idea that, well, you know, I'm kind of floundering in this area or that area, and nothing's really going wrong. Well, time will bring it to the surface. You know, we need to be so careful. Just like I said, keep short accounts, but have that fear of God that we need to, that we might do what's right. Let's go back to Psalm in verse 30. Psalm in verse 30. I'm sorry, chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. In verse 4. Psalm 30 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." And then Psalm 97:12, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." When we think about who God is, we ought to be thankful. We really ought to be. He's not changing all the time. The requirements for a relationship with Him don't vary, don't waver. The requirements for a life that's blessed don't waver, they don't change, because He's holy. He's holy. He's not going to change His mind about what is needed to live a life that pleases Him. And that's why we can know that we have the Word of God. You know, because His mind hasn't changed. And it hasn't changed about Bible inspiration. It has not changed about Bible preservation. You know, we have everything we need. And let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. We have everything we need. And we need to live as such that we have everything we need. You know, we're not paupers. We need to be poor in spirit, but that just means to be humble so that we can receive everything that God has for us. The problem comes in when we aren't poor in spirit, that we think that we can provide something in the equation, so to speak. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So we have all things. He's given us all things. Everything we need for life, everything we need for godliness, everything that we need to be holy, as He commands us to be. Okay, let's go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. Just looking at a few things here about how holiness is produced within us. A little bit about how you know what we need to do. Obviously, we know we got to be in the Word, we got to pray, we got to we also need to know, you know, what is our ministry? Everybody needs a ministry. And it doesn't need to be something that has a title attached to it, like Sunday school teacher. I mean, we don't need a title. We just need to be fat people. F-A-T. Faithful, available, teachable. You know, that's what we need to be. God will use us. Okay, I got a few chuckles. I didn't mean, anyway. But everybody has a ministry. And like I said, we don't need a title. Prayer is a ministry that we all need to be involved in, but it needs to go beyond that. You know, just when people have needs, we meet the need. Sending notes is a ministry. A phone call is a ministry. A helping hand is a ministry. But we all need to be involved in serving each other. Okay, Romans 6, verse 19. Romans 6, 19, "After the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." We have to live a yielded life. You know, and it's not yielding to our own hearts and desires and wisdom, but it's unto God. It's unto what does He want. And that's why every decision in our life, every path we're thinking, you know, come to a fork in the road. Which way do I go? God needs to be the guide, one guiding us. His word's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need to yield to Him. And then we already looked at the 2 Corinthians 7, 1 there, where we need to be holiness in the fear of God. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Maybe this point should have came first. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it just tells us very simply, we're called to be holy. It's God's will for us to be holy. You know, it's not an elective, so to speak. It's a part of the core curriculum, so to speak. But 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." This is our calling. This is God's will for us, that we be, that we be holy. And we also see over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 there, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We already saw the connection between holiness and giving thanks. You know, because it's an impossible task to try to be holy without being thankful. We're not going to do it, period. We've got to be thankful, no matter what's going on. You know, and here it's so clear, "In everything give thanks, in the hard times and the good times, in everything." And this is definitely God's will for us. Hebrews chapter 12. So we need to be yielded to be holy, and it's something we're called to. This is something for everyone. We're called to it. And then we need to understand that chastening produces holiness. You know, we acknowledge we haven't arrived yet. We're not there yet. We're not going to be there yet until we get to heaven. You know, so there's always needs as far as understanding, as far as daily discipline, as far as, you know, our own spiritual struggles. There's always a place to go, and we're not going to read the whole chapter here, but just like to look at verse 2 really quick. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We've got to look to Jesus all the time. You know, continue on in this verse, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look at what Jesus endured. Every one of us, let's look at what Jesus endured to see ours is minor. It really is minor. And I know I feel like I say that almost every week up here. But you know, I guess maybe I'm saying it for me, saying it for all of us. Because you know, really, what we're dealing with is pretty small compared to the difficulty he went through. And then verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You know, if we're getting faint, if we're getting weary, think about Jesus. Think about him. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10, this is talking about fathers. "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit," that "we might be partakers of his holiness." We have to humble ourselves to be able to grasp this. And that is that when we get chastened, it's because we have a need. We're not all we should be yet. And so when God chastens us, it's because we need to learn something to be more holy, to be partakers of his holiness. And then we need to remember verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." It's not always easy to learn something about ourselves that isn't good, and then to face consequences for that. You know, how do we take care of this? There was a situation recently where I'm teaching a boy how to do his math problems a certain way. Actually, there was two situations. It's kind of interesting because then I met with a father Friday, and he was teaching him a different way. And so, but he was teaching him a way out of the book, and I was teaching him a way out of the book. Well, the son should have known the right way. Well, I shouldn't say the right way. The way I was wanting, and the reason why I wanted it is because it leads into the next thing we're trying to do, and then the next thing we're trying to do. And so, but the dad taught him that. And then the boy took a quiz, and he didn't show me the work, and so I marked him down for that. Well, then the dad came in and talked to me about it. I said, "Hey, it's no problem. You know, I'll give him the credit," because I didn't realize what he was trying to show. Well, then another situation was I was doing the same thing, and another teacher who has another student, like in a study hall type thing, was teaching him a different way too. And so I just gave the boy, and I got a nice email from the parent, like, you know, the other teacher was doing this and so on. And I wasn't aware of it all. But anyway, I said, yeah, no problem. I'll give him the credit for it. But I mean, it just showed me maybe I need to be more clear with other people. You know, maybe I'm needing to be, well, see, the impression I have of myself is I'm as explicit as you can get. That's the impression I have of myself. I make things as plain can be. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I need to make it more plain. I'll have to think about how to do that, I think. I'll have to look outside myself for some help with that one. But anyway, you know, we don't, the different things we go through, we need to have humility. You know, and I could have dug my heels in and said, no, they're going to do it again. But all I'm going to do is make some enemies over something that really doesn't even really matter. You know, why make a mountain out of a molehill, right? Let's look at also, excuse me, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's no, it's not like this is a kind of a circle path in the woods, okay? Like, you know, we're going to go over here, and the goal's over here, and we can take the shortcut, you know, across the field or the woods or whatever. We need the whole course. And part of the course is just having our patience be tried. I mean, because without that, we're not going to be perfect and entire. We're going to be lacking. And sometimes we want the shortcut. You know, we want the helicopter ride Christianity, where we just get there quick. Well, it's not like Burger King, right? Of course, Burger King's not very fast, are they? Their service is usually a little slower. Is that what I hear? Anyway. But anyway, I'm talking about the have it your way part of the Burger King slogan. At any rate, let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I would probably be amiss without reading something about inspiration, right? That's on the back burner just for a few weeks, hopefully. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we need to realize that because the Word of God is perfect, it can make us perfect. You know, if we don't have a perfect book, it's not going to make us perfect. You know, and if God expects us to be holy, and if God tells us that he wants us to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, and if God tells us that we have everything we need for life and godliness, then the book's got to be perfect, and we know it is. So verse 14 then of 2 Timothy chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, we can't be saved apart from the Word of God. You know, that's where the gospel is, that's where repentance is, and so on. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is perfect. We have what we need. And that's the only way somebody is going to be made perfect. That's the only way. The only way. Well, let's see. I did have one more thing. 1 Peter 3. Really quick. 1 Peter 3. And all of us need encouragement about being holy. And I don't want any of the ladies thinking I'm trying to come down on them, because I'm not. But verse 5 of 1 Peter 3, just a reminder the Lord brought out this morning as I was looking through a few things. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 3, for after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And that's how ladies make themselves beautiful. They make themselves holy. We already talked about the attire side, but then it's also just like Sarah. In verse 6 here, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. But that's a key part for a lady specifically. to be holy, to be what God wants, and that is to be in subjection unto their own husbands. And husbands, we need to do our part. You know, we need to do our part and love our wives, make sure there's not any struggle we're placing in their way in being able to do that. But just one last point there about holiness. Let's close with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love. And Father, we do thank you for your Holy Spirit and your word, Lord, that works in us, Lord, that we might be exactly what you want. We do thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. We do thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, just help us to have the humility we need to walk in your Spirit and live according to your word, that we might live out and be a witness and a testimony to the world that we are created for your pleasure and we're living as such. We just pray for your continued strength and wisdom in this day and your continued blessing on the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.